Now look, Foster went on. You can't trust your life to that cockamamie missile defense system, and you know it. Half its tests have been out-and-out failures. They've had 3 successes in a row. It's like trying to hit a bullet with another bullet. But they've had 3 successes in a row, the president insisted. They're working out the kinks in the system. And you're going to put your life on the line based on that? For a moment, the president did not reply. Then he said slowly, "We have military satellites watching their launch pad, don't we?" Foster nodded tentatively. "If and when they launch, you can pull me out of San Francisco, okay?" The missiles can reach Frisco half an hour after they're launched. You couldn't even get to Air Force One in half an hour from the Cow Palace. "I'm not going to run away based on some analyst's theory," the president insisted. "I'm not going to look like a coward. Or a fool. But..." The president ticked off points on his fingers. "One, the idea that they'll try to hit San Francisco is just a theory cooked up by some academic with a computer scenario, right? 2, from the briefings I've had, the North Korean missiles probably couldn't reach San Francisco." He grinned at his old friend. "You see, I do listen to those briefings, and I remember 'em." Foster shook his head. "They do have the range, according to this analyst. 3, we have a defense system that can shoot those missiles down while they're still thousands of miles from San Francisco. Maybe. 4, I'm not turning tail. That's final." "Final? Final." Foster knew when to give up. "Okay. You're the boss." "Damned right I am." With a sigh, Foster pushed himself up from the seat and, grinning, gave his president a sloppy military salute. The president grinned back at him and snapped off a crisp salute in return. But as he left the president's compartment, Foster found himself wishing that he didn't have to be on this plane with his boss. He had the distinct feeling that they were flying to their deaths. National Weather Service Headquarters, Salem, Oregon. "I wish we had some satellite data," muttered Sid Golden. "I feel like a blind man groping through this storm." Golden was not tall, but very broad in the shoulders, with heavy, well-muscled arms and legs. In his youth, he had been a good enough athlete to get a tryout with the Los Angeles Angels baseball team. He'd shown up at the camp filled with hopeful excitement, but badly sprained his left knee on the very first day. He went to college that autumn, eventually got his degree in meteorology. Now his thinning hair barely covered his pate, and his belly rounded from years of donuts and pizzas. He leaned back in his creaking desk chair and glowered unhappily at the blank electronic map on the wall above his desk. Ralph Brancusi shook his head. "No satellite data. We're just gonna have to figure this one out the old-fashioned way." Golden stuck a finger in his mouth and then held it high as if testing the wind. To his surprise, he felt a slight draft coming from the vent up near the ceiling of his office. Brancusi laughed. He was short, lean, wiry. Golden secretly envied his thick waves of dark hair. "Come on, Sid. We've got to get an 11 o'clock forecast out on the wire." "Rain and cold," Golden growled. "Snow in the higher elevations. And tomorrow? Who the hell knows? More of the same. The storm's moving inland. It'll probably develop into a full-scale blizzard once it clears the Rockies. We ought to get a warning out, huh?" "Yeah, sure," said Golden. "I just wish we had some satellite imagery. This is like being back in the mother-humping